Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Nobody takes this scene and creates figures and displays it on their lawn. But it's embedded in the Christmas story. It's just not as well known as a lot of the parts that are on Christmas cards and depicted in stained glass. It has found its way into a number of different paintings and so on. The scene of Mary visiting Elizabeth, and of course it's embedded in the rosary. It happens to be, of all the different ways that Christian people are encouraged, and Catholics in particular, to honor Mary in all kind of different guises and titles, it's my very favorite. Because the story that precedes it is a really extraordinary one that lots of people know. That this young girl is just minding her business, presumably at her house, maybe saying her prayers, when the angel of the Lord appears to her and proposes this wild plan of God's. How would you feel about giving birth to God's child? And we know in that story that Mary asks only one question and then says, sure, I'm God's servant. I always try to do whatever I think God wants done next. If this is what God wants done next, then absolutely. Even though there's also that part about her not having a husband and wondering how this is all going to happen, and we learn too in the Matthew's gospel that she could end up dead for being pregnant outside of marriage. And anyway, she just says, all I ever try to do is what God wants done next. And if this is what God wants done next, well, sure. And then the angel left her. That's the way that Luke concludes the story. When he wants the story to be over, he just says, and then it was over. And then in the next scene, there'll be a crowd, and he won't say where they came from. There's just this crowd because he needs a crowd, and so he puts a crowd there. Well, in this scene, we just had that magnificent story of the encounter with the angel. And then the next thing Mary is doing what Mary always did. The next thing that God seemed to want done. Because, after all, I'm God's servant. What may I do now, Lord? And so she's learned that her cousin Elizabeth, who everybody thought was too old, past childbearing, was barren, all that, that she's in her sixth month. So what's the first thing she does? But goes to pay a call. Travels to go and see her cousin. It's just one of many travel stories that happened this week. Do you have one? Are you here because you're traveling? You are. There are several people that are back to visit, and our masses on Christmas will be full of lots of alums. Likewise, a lot of our own people will be gone because they've traveled too to go be with somebody they love. Anyway, this story, it's not that critical. I think musically it sounds like a grace note. Do you know what a grace note is? I took piano lessons for 8 years. That's why I know what a grace note is. They don't teach you about grace notes early. You just learn about melody lines and tempos and stuff. But somewhere along the line, you play music that's complicated enough to have a grace note. When you see, you can imagine music on a staff, and how they're in little boxes and they have dots or flags that tell you how much time they get to take up. And then there's a grace note. They're tiny and they're usually at the top. And they're miniature notes and they don't stand by themselves really. They're kind of attached to the next note because they happen so fast that they don't even really take up space of their own. They just add a little spark. You're going to give me, Chris, an example of a grace note, aren't you? Could you hear the one that was the grace note? Again? Yeah. It's like that. It just adds something pretty. It's just a little something extra, like grace. The word means, it's from charis, charisma, gift. That line goes just fine without that note, and most of the time when you hear that song, you don't hear that note. But you just added it because it just adds a little grace. It's just a little gift. Mary is known as, you know, the mother of the universe. My mom taught me that, you know, I have not only my mom on earth, but I have my mother in heaven, and that everybody else is her kid too. And I'm, you know, she's got so many ways we can think about her, but then there's this little bit of Mary, and this is a little scene in her life where she's doing nothing but what she thinks God wants done, the next kind thing. I think she woke up every morning and said, "I'm your servant, reporting for duty. What would you like me to do today, Lord?" Having learned the day before that her cousin's 6 months pregnant, I think the answer she got was, "I think I'll go visit Elizabeth." We can all do the same. You can simply wake up, and if your life is crowded or confused or there's just too much going on, you could simplify it by simply first thing in the morning saying, "It's me, Lord, reporting for duty, another day. What can I do for you today?" I don't think you'll have to take very long if you just quiet and still. Just still for a moment. What can I do for you today? And then wait for that grace note to emerge. Grace notes occur lots of other different ways, not just in helping us focus and do something that we otherwise might have overlooked doing. Sometimes things are happening around us. Other people are providing the grace notes. And we might not have enough, like, music theory or music appreciation to always know when they're happening around us unless we pray for that gift. And you can do that first thing in the morning. "Lord, would you help me be attentive today to the grace notes that are going to be around me so that I don't focus on some dissonance, on some clash, something that I can get my imagination all bent out of joint about. Could you help me just have a natural ear attuned to the notes of grace that happen around me, that happen so quickly that I might otherwise overlook them?" The Dominican Order made Mary a patron of the order because our job is to preach. Well, Mary didn't do an awful lot of preaching. She wouldn't have even been allowed to go to the front of the synagogue. That was just for the men. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? However, she can simply walk into a room and the Holy Spirit precedes her and accompanies her. She does nothing more than walk into a room, and it says Mary greeted Elizabeth. It doesn't say what her line was, but chances are it would have been shalom. That's the standard greeting. Shalom. May peace be to this house. She probably did nothing but walk in and say shalom, and then you heard the rest of the story. Stuff starts happening. Little John the Baptist in utero kicks his mother, alerts her to the presence of the Holy. She understands what just happened. This wasn't just any kick. The kid inside me just kicked to tell me that I'm in the presence of the Lord. My God, what have I done to deserve this? All that because, what? Because Mary walked in the door and said hi. Hello. Shalom. As a preacher, I try to go back to this scene regularly. It's why it's my favorite one of all the ones that Mary appears in. Because I was taught that if you want to be any good as a preacher, you first have to listen to God and ask and say, "I'm your servant. Use my voice. Use my lungs. use my thoughts, use my education, use my experience, use my relationship with my people. Use me to say what you want to them. And if you're going to be any good at it, I was taught you're supposed to first live it and enflesh it. It's not just because of being a Dominican, it's because of being a baptized person. If we're any good at being baptized, if we're any good at being a Christian at all, it's because we're conscious of it. And we know that God lives inside of us, that we incarnate the very mystery that all of Christmas is about. That Jesus lives in us because we said yes, like Mary did. We don't explicitly renew the vows of our baptism on Christmas. We wait and do that on Easter. But it's really the heart of Christmas is to say to the Lord, thank you for living in me. And could you help me be more of a bearer, a Christopher? Could you make me more of a bearer of your presence in the world? So that even when nobody's looking or when I'm not even that conscious of it, I just happen to do things that make you observable. That even if it's not in the melody line and it's not being pounded out, maybe I do something graceful. Just like that. So I hope you'll keep that thought as we move into the next few days. There'll be lots of opportunities to be around lots of people, many of whom we're just so glad to see. I didn't even say the rest of the sentence. There'll be opportunities for grace at your table, won't there? Not just the prayer kind? No? Or in any last minute thing that you have to do? Bad weather can make everybody feel kind of foul inside. There's enough reason for the world to feel dark. Every day seems to give us another dose of that. But there's also that grace that happens inside of us and all around us when, like Mary, we just welcome it and say, of course I'll do what you'd like me to do. I'm your servant. What can I do next?
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer, Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP. Director, Gary Glover. With music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.